reveals himself, and it was in creation and communication, also in your conscience. And now here we've talked about through his word, and now we're talking about through Christ. And so if God is truly noble, and he is, the question we need to ask is, how can we come to him? God has revealed him facts about himself, his nature in different ways so that we can know him. Well, what are these ways? Of course, now we're going to talk about through Christ. This is the finished product of last week. So last week we talked about God's word and how God communicated. Now we're going to talk about the living word. We talked about the written word. Now we're going to talk about, we talked about the logos. Now we're going to talk about the living word. So here we go. In the beginning was the word. Y'all can, if you write on your paper, put up over top, present. Present. He's all power. I mean, he's omnipresent. Okay, this is his God to Godhead. Okay, he's omnipresent. Okay, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and now you can put omnipotent. He's all powerful because he's God. Not like God, he is God. So he's omnipresent. He was there. He's omnipotent because he was with God, and all through him all things were made, and without him were not anything made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So now you can put omniscient. Again, we're talking about the attributes of deity. He's omnipresent. He's there all places at one time. He was in the beginning. He's here with us now. He's omnipotent because not only is he with God, he is God. And all things were made by him. Again, that's omnipotence. But then you see in him was life, and life was the light of men. So now he's omniscient, because now he knows all things. And it says he came to testify concerning, excuse me, talking to John the Baptist. Now he came concerning that he was of the light, but he was not the light, the true light that gives man this. So Jesus was in the world, and the world received him not. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in that, we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in just that one sentence, again, you've got omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present everywhere. And so this is powerful. Jesus Christ is just so powerful. And that's one of the reasons why when you talk about God, there's so many gods in this world. Every religion has a god, little g. Every religion. Even the atheists have a little g god. So you don't really aggravate people too much when you say God. It doesn't really cause a whole lot of, doesn't put a lot of bees in the bonnet. But when you start saying Jesus, that's when the problem comes. I remember one day, the Lord was trying to get it through my head about the power of his name. And I remember I had quit smoking, and I'd quit running around being wild man. And I was trying to be home, trying to be a good guy. And Beverly, I believe, was pregnant with DC at the time. And I was laying in the bed on third shift one night. I woke up I dreamed in the middle of the night that I was doing all the things that I had let the Lord deliver me from. I was doing it all. And I said, Lord, I don't want this. And so I just kept going to the bathroom, come back. And I dream again. I was doing things that just I knew I shouldn't be doing in my dream. And I come back and I wake up and say, God, you got to help me. And then I went back to sleep. And this was literally not just a dream. It was so real. It was like a vision. It was like I was right there. You've seen those kind of dreams. It was right there. And I stood out in the front yard. And I said, okay, Satan, I've had enough of you. Let's have it out now. And when I said, let's have it out now, and I was asleep and I was in my dream, it took my breath. He picked me up over my house And I just started going around and around and around my house. He was just fighting. And I couldn't do anything. Because I was the one that challenged him. And so I went to challenge him. That was a silly thing, me to challenge him. I went to challenge him. The Lord was teaching me something. When he went to challenge him, he pulled me up. And he just had me in the air. And he was taking my breath. And I was going around and around and around. And I remembered in a revival just a week or so before, a preacher said, when you're under attack, just quote the word of God. Just quote the word of God. You can fight him. Especially quote what's going on, quote the antidote. Well, when you're going around the house at about 50 to 100 mile an hour, you're in the air and there's nothing you're holding on to, and this guy at you, and you're like this, you can't breathe. I couldn't think of a Bible verse. I was thinking, wait a minute, I'm still thinking of a Bible verse. Bible verse, I can't think of a Bible verse. I just started reading the Bible. I don't understand. And the Lord spoke to me in this dream and said, and Jesus said, just say my name. And so I said, I couldn't even breathe. And I still remember this like it happened last night. I went, Jesus. And I started slowing down. And I said, Jesus. And pretty soon I was going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I slowed right on down. It took me right to where I was pulled up in the air. And I sat right down on my and sat down softly on my feet. And I heard a voice behind me say, you have defeated him. All I said was Jesus. Didn't say all the Bible verses, which I still use Bible verses when I'm in spiritual warfare, especially now that I know them. But to somebody who does not know the verses, and there's still times where I don't have anything to say but Jesus. But because I did that, and I went and told my boss man, who was one of my spiritual shepherds, I told him, he must not have heard the part about it being a dream. Because he said, we're good friends. Why didn't you tell me about this when you first got here? And I said, no, it was a dream. But the point of the matter was, God taught me in that dream that night, because from that time on, and at the time I was also trying to quit smoking. And so I had all this stuff going on, I had all these battles going on. And God showed me his power through just the name of Jesus. Just the name of Jesus. Again, it was a dream. But only if it was a dream, I wouldn't be a bit surprised to think it was almost a vision, because it was so real. I mean, when I woke up, I was sweating, I was breathing hard. You know, it was like I'd been running around the yard. So again, the name of Jesus is so powerful. That's why you watch TV and talk about God. Oh, you ought to talk about God. You can go to school and talk about God. But when you say Jesus, you can say Muhammad. I don't get goosebumps. You can say Confucius. I just say Gesundheit. When you say Jesus, whew, that's a powerful name. Man, that's a powerful name. Amen. It's a very powerful name. So, matter of fact, did I remember telling y'all about the sign? Saw a sign, a billboard said, need a lift. It was advertising a tow truck. It says, you need a lift? It said, call 1-800-JESUS. Jesus had a lift truck. I mean, had a tow truck. You need a lift in life? Call Jesus. Okay. So here. This is so simple. And this is the whole story. This is the story of the gospel. In the beginning was the Word. Before there was ever anything, before we were ever created, there was a, according to Revelation, there was a divine meeting before the world was ever created. And God said, there's going to be a fall. Now, how are we going to take care of this? We've got to have somebody innocent die for the guilty. And the Bible says in Revelation that it was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth, or the world. So now, what that's saying is, although it had not happened yet, God knew it was going to happen because he's omniscient. And so because he knew it was going to happen, then Jesus, Calvary wasn't an afterthought. It was a forethought. It was already there. And when God says something, that's what I like about God's promises. If you can think about this, if God gives you a promise, and you know God gave it to you, hold on to it, because although you don't see it yet, it's good as done, because if God ever says something, it's done. Remember I told you, if God told you that this thing here was made out of mahogany, and you go, come on now, I've been watching the pastor, it's made out of metal. And if he says, if he said it was mahogany, you try and look at it, be mahogany. Why? Because once God says something, it happens. And so when God gives you a promise, it happens. And so God gave the promise that his son was going to be slain, and it actually happened 2,000 years ago, but before the very beginning of time, God had already figured it out. They already had the divine counsel, and Jesus, they said, I'll go. And so although he had not physically done it, it was already put down in the books. So it's going to happen. So if God says he's going to heal you, you know he's going to heal you. And he says, I'm going to heal you so you can get up and walk again. Guess what? I may feel bad, but I'm going to be walking because God's going to heal me. And I can think about the same. Like, Linda, you've been sick and your heart, the problem with the hearts and how God pulled you back up out of all that. You know, and all of y'all have got stories to tell about that, about how God healed you or how God healed your spouses or some things that he did. But so when God says it, it's good as done. That's a good question. Now just be quiet. Now I'm playing. I'm playing with you. Bethany, that was an awesome question. I mean, awesome question. Now, anybody got an awesome answer for that? Now I'm playing. That, there's a rhema word. I know. Look. I rub off on her and she rubs off on me. So she's getting smarter and I'm getting crazy. Look, you hear what I said? We're around each other, rubbing off each other. She's getting smarter and I'm getting crazy. All right, ready? Here we go. Oh, she's precious. I told her today how precious she was. Okay. So now, there's something called the Rhema word. The Rhema word is a spoken word to your situation that God can speak it to you through another person. God can speak it through your heart. God can speak it through your spirit. God can speak it through a song. God can speak it through circumstance. But a Rhema word is when you hear the Rhema word, again, that's the spoken word applied to your circumstances, then it's good as done. A Rhema word, I've been going through some, I may be going through something like my mama. They told mama when she had 9 blockages in her heart. 9. She was very severe diabetic, and so she had this coronary artery disease. And when they got her to the hospital to check her heart, she had 9 blockages. And they said this was going to be a tough operation to try to fix what's wrong with her heart, because her heart was just blocked everywhere. And so we were sitting there, and mama wouldn't talk to my brothers or my sister about this, because they at the time were not serving God, and they also were very negative. And so mama and I were faith partners. And so my sister went up to her and said, look, if you want to go, it's okay. You can go. I said, Tammy, do you mind? Just don't encourage mama anymore, okay? And my brothers didn't know what to say, my dad. So I go in there one day, and I'm with mama all by herself. I would try to visit her when she was really, really sick. I would try to visit her at times when the rest of the family weren't there, so I could talk alone with mama about spiritual things. And so mama said, son, I know this is a rough operation. I know this, but she said, God gave me a dream last night. It was so real. It was like I was right there. And I don't know what to think about it, but can you kind of tell me what you think? I said, okay, mama, tell me. And mama said, I looked up, and there was the heavenly choir. And she said, I saw my mama, and I saw my aunts, and my granddaddy, my grandmama, my aunts, and all this. And so they're all up there and said, and then I got called up, and I got up and stepped in the choir with him. She said, what does that mean? Am I going to die? I said, well, if all the people that was in the choir was dead, it could be. I said, but you named off people that weren't dead in the choir. I said, so it lets me know that God's not going to take you till they go. You went in after they went. And she went, wow, I didn't think about it that way. I said, God gave you a rhema word through a dream that you're not going to die. And so I told mama, I said, so here's what I want you to say. Thank you, Lord. It's not my time yet. And this is a bad operation. And she said, okay, thank you, Lord. It's not my time yet. So the day came, the next day or so, when they had the operation, we're all around her bed, and everybody's crying, and they're trying to look strong, but they're still crying. And so when they come to take her out, I said, can I follow her to the surgical room? He said, sure. Because not only was I her son, I was her pastor. And so I walk out, and I walk in holding her hand, and we're walking all the way through the hospital. And I said, Mama? She said, yes, remember that dream? She said, yes, sir, I sure do. I said, I know what they said. I said, but remember what God told you. It's not your time yet. Mama said, that's right. I said, how about do me a favor and say it? I said, because it gets power. It's power when it comes out of my mouth, it's powerful. When it comes out of your mouth, it's super powerful. Because now you're confessing faith. She said, okay, it's not my time yet. And so all the way down the hospital, I told her, I love you, Mama, and I'll see you when you get out. Because it's not your time yet. And so, Mama, the last thing she said when they took her through those doors, I said, Mama, let me hear you say it. She said, it's not my time. She goes behind the doors. I go back and sit with the family there. We're all concerned because Mama's having this major heart surgery. I mean, anybody in the right mind would be concerned. But it's like, she might not make it. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm saying, I'm so glad y'all didn't follow her down. And so, it took a little bit longer than they were thinking. And then when they finally brought her out, I said, oh, y'all be ready, because nowadays it's not so bad. But back then, you really look bad after open heart surgery. You really look bad. All the tubes out of you and all the stuff. And Mom was laying there, and her mouth, her face was swollen, and her tongue was hanging out. And I said, and so I walked in with them, and we looked at Mom for the first time, and everybody's crying. And I didn't like what I saw, but I said, you got to be strong, because they need to see faith in action. It's not her. And so I walked up to Mama. She couldn't hear me. She could hear me, but she couldn't respond. I put my hand on her hands. Everybody else was talking about, we love you, Mama. I just reached over to her ear, and I said, remember, it's not your time yet. Okay. She came out. She did fine. But because of that coronary artery disease, her heart clogged back up. They tried to give her stents. And not only did it didn't clog on both sides, it just closed up the vessels. So they gave her, so they had to do another open heart surgery. So they did the other open heart surgery. And then it got bad again. And then they tried to say, we can fix it with stents this time. It did the same thing. So she had like 3 open heart surgeries and 2 stent operations. And so they went through all this stuff. And so she was on the second floor because by this time now they've removed one of her legs because of diabetes. So she's in there, and now they've put a defibrillator in her because of her heart problems. So one day, her defibrillator went off 27 times. They told my sister, who was there, not to touch her when it was defibrillating. And they took her and moved her to intensive care. I drove from Benson, and I come over, and my brother and my sister in the intensive care of my mama, they've got the defibrillator stopped. They disconnected it. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. And they're in there talking about, she's going to die, she's going to die, she's going to die, she's going to die. I said, well, y'all, please, stop it. And they said, we know what we see. I said, I know in whom we believe. I said, now, please get out of here. They said, Mama can't hear you. She hadn't been awake all day. Watch this. I walked over to Mama, and I held her hand. I leaned over, and I said, Mama, it's not your time yet. And she said, I know. And she just grinned. They found out that her potassium level was low, and that's what made it go off. So they got a potassium right, and everything was fine. It was all the way. I cannot tell you the times that they called a rubber ball because she'd be at death's door. And I'd walk up to her, and I'd say, remember, Mom, the rhema word is not your time. And she'd bounce back. I mean, have a good time. It weren't just like she would just exist. But at the end, when she was going out of here, and she said she wanted to go out of here, and they had taken her off dialysis. She'd been out of dialysis for a month or so, and she was being poisoned. I remember that Sunday night before she died, just a few hours later, I was sitting beside her. I just preached that night. I come in, I sat beside her, I was reading my Bible. And Mama hadn't talked to anybody in 2 or 3 days. Her eyes had busted open. She'd thrown up so much because she had a tumor in her stomach. She thrown up so much that her implants had exploded and her eyes were just black. And Mama had been turned toward the wall, hadn't talked to anybody. And about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, she turned around and started talking to me. I said, Mama, you're talking to me. The doctor said, we don't know why she's living. She should have been gone a month ago. Why is she still living? We don't know. Mama looked at me and And she, I said, Mom, you want to go, don't you? She said, yes. And just the day before, I told her one more time. The Lord spoke to me. He said, now why are you telling her that? For her or for you? And so I reached over Mom and I said, Mom, I know God can heal you, but He's going to heal you on the other side with new legs and new eyes and new kidneys and new heart. It's going to be awesome, a new stomach. And so I said, Mama, this time, I'm telling you, it's okay. There you go. And she turned around and went back to sleep. And we left, and before I could get home, they called us. She had died. But I believe, Bethany, I hope you're getting this story, that was a rhema word. It's not your time. And Mama held on to that thing for, I think, 5 years. That rhema word. So that, to me, was a very powerful thing. It was so powerful. And she could have died time and time and time again. And my siblings were doing stupid stuff. I don't know. They're Lentons. I can't tell you. I tell them all the time, they can hear you. I tell my brothers, I tell my sister, my daddy, so they can hear you. Even if they're not even, when they come to, they may not remember it, but they can hear you. Be quiet. If you can't be positive, be quiet. That's right. Well, yeah, it is. It looks very bad. You think? Okay. Okay. Oh, I told Bethany last night, that's funny. I said, Bethany, when we're in Walmart and we get lost, you always go to the side where the food's at, the deli, and you stay there. Do not move until I get there. I said, and then she moved a couple of times. I said, listen, you stay there tonight. I said, unless Jesus, John the Baptist, or Elvis comes and tells you to move, you don't move. And she said, really, Dad? And I said, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Did he get down on his knees and do like this? You know, and it was, the place was called Graceland. He said that if he hadn't have been a singer, he'd have loved to have been a preacher. And he was Assembly of God. That's where he learned to shake, baby, shake. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when I was a DJ in Benson, I was a DJ 2 hours a day. There was, in the morning was the new country, then there was the old country, then there was me, and then there was new country, and then there was the oldies from the 50s. And so when I did that for 2 hours on Elvis's birthday, every year for 2 hours, all we played was Elvis hymns. And do you know I never repeated one in 2 hours? He loved them. He's just, they're awesome. Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. So again, that's one way. There's been times where I was praying, and while I'm praying, a song come on. You know, I've done things like, Lord, that was that. I know y'all don't ever say this. I get in my car and say, that was stupid. I said, Lord, I done told you I weren't going to go that direction, and here I am. I turn on the radio, and I hear something, you know, about you're not never too far, never too far gone, all this. Or I'm thinking, Lord, this is an impossible situation. I don't know what in the world. This is impossible. I mean, these two people, I'm not sure if they're ever going to get back together and then get in the car, and all of a sudden something come on about it. So again, I'll be singing that song, you know. And if I'm counseling people sometimes, while I'm counseling them, I'm trying to keep on what they're saying, but at the same time, you know, I'm singing that song, or I get a verse. The Lord will give me a verse. I turn on the radio and a verse will pop up, or even on my phone. Just like this, Bethany, when we took her to Dove's Nest, we had gone through weeks and weeks of testing and training to get her in Dove's Nest. When we get her there, and it was a holiday, they told us that they had messed up on some information. So I had to call. I'm in Charlotte. So I'm calling the doctor's office, and they said the doctor's gone. I said, I need this information. We're in Charlotte. We drove 4.5 hours to get here. And she said, well, I can go give you what I can find. I said, well, how about give me what you can find? And so she went and got the stuff and brought it back. I said, now read it to me. She read it to me. I said, that's what I want you to send me. And I gave the facts back and forth. And it was like an hour process. I couldn't fathom. It was looking like Bethany was not going to get in after I already moved all her stuff in and everything. And then there was a misdiagnosis given, and it was not the proper medicine. And I said, Lord, I don't know what in the world to do. And we're sitting there, and the lady's going, nope, nope, nope. And about that time, my phone went zzz. And so Lord went and looked at it. But I said, I better look at this thing. And I caught up my text messages. And out of clear blue sky. And out of clear blue. At the same time, I said, God, you've got to help me now. Because we've done all this work, and now they're not going to take her. Out of clear blue sky, the guy sent me a Bible verse. And the Bible verse, I can't remember the exact verse right now, but it was exactly what I needed to hear for that situation. If someone like God before you, who can be against you, or all things are possible. God, I can't remember. Yeah. And so, it was no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It was Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I went, whoa. And so I walked over to Linda and I went, like that. And the lady, out of the clear blue, the lady said, you know what? I think we can work around this. We're going to test it anyway. She got 2 weeks grace period just to be tested. Let's go ahead and give it a shot. She just told me no. Yeah, look, she already told me no twice. Yeah, I even gave him a bank book. What can I give you? You know, I got a car out there. You know, she didn't know. I was determined to get her in that place. And so, again, God sent me a message, right? And I've had that happen so many times. And I've had people get in the mighty army and go, you know, here I was, and I was trying to figure something out, and all of a sudden I get this mighty army, and it goes blah, blah, blah. And I go, man, thank you. I said, don't thank me. It ain't me, bro. It is not me. I'm just a Western Union guy. It is not me. I can't tell you in the last couple of weeks, people, you know, that I hadn't even ever heard from it except for when they first acknowledged it and they got it. You know, they said, can we get on it? Yes. I said, let me know you got it. They, oh, we got it. And I never heard from them again in years. And somebody popped up and go, wow. Wow. You know, one guy told me, and I talked about climbing the mountain. I was mighty on about climbing the mountain so you can get up and look down in victory. Look down. And I had one of the natural resource guys from the Department of Natural Resources that I used to work with at Fountain. He worked for the government. I sent that one. And a couple hours later, he writes me back. He hadn't sent me a message in a year, 2 years. And I get this message and says, you're not going to believe this. I went on a personal quest just to get alone with God. And I went to the mountains. And I was climbing the mountain when that text came in. And he said, isn't God awesome? I said, God's awesome. It's God. Amen. It's all God. Praise God. And so again, there's Rhema words. Rhema words. So when you get that promise, hold on to it. And just remember this too now. Certain promises, listen carefully. Certain promises of God are unconditional. Okay? Some are conditional. Unconditional means I have to do nothing. It's going to happen. Conditional means I have to do my part. And then some promises have a shelf life. What I'll say about shelf life is it won't do any good if God answers it tomorrow. It's today. And there's sometimes you hold on to a promise you got 5 years ago, thinking I still got that promise. No, that had a shelf life. It did its purpose. Okay, for that purpose, for that problem, it did it. That's how you know, that's how Bethany asked that question. You know, that one promise may not cover all the way through. It's that promise for that time. And there's the Rhema word to come along to help you. Is that helping anybody? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Because you got to know this stuff. If you don't, you'll get all mad and say, well, God, you didn't help me. You weren't there. Yeah, he was. But it may be conditional, unconditional, or shelf life. You got to look backwards. You got to look. You can't judge God's faithfulness forward. You got to judge God's faithfulness in the rearview mirror. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's amazing to watch God work. Oh yeah. Abraham, it took him 20 years. Yep. We see, everybody talks about the faith of Abraham, and God said that he staggered not in unbelief at the promises of God in Romans, but at the same time, Abraham tried through Hagar and had Ishmael, a son of the flesh. So he had the promise of God, but then he decided he was going to work out the promise of God on his own. It took God over 20 years to wind up giving him Isaac. And if he had paid attention, closer attention, he would have known not to try to have a child on his own. But he was going by looking at visual circumstance. Okay? Well, yeah, and every time a man listens to his wife, he does a whole... Here we go. Yes, she did. Yeah, I had a friend one time that had a family member that was like a prodigal, and the friend was asking me, what does he do? How do I handle this? How do I get out of this? What do I do to handle this problem? And this guy had several people call him, not knowing that they were prophesying to him. And one said that the prodigal's coming home. And the guy told me, he said, well, the prodigal may come home, but the prodigal's sick. Very sick. And so he gets another phone call, and somebody says, not only the prodigal's known, as the prodigal comes home, God's going to heal the prodigal. And he said, how can God heal him when it's a life or death situation? And he's so far away, how is he going to be home? And it says, not only is he going to come home, but he will never leave again. So he got three didn't know there were prophecies. He had to look back. But he heard it. The prodigal's coming home. The prodigal's going to be healed, not only physically, mentally, but emotionally, relationally, and that the prodigal would never leave. And he asked me, he said, how in the world, I mean, I'm hearing all this stuff, but how in the world, this doesn't make any sense. Well, and this sounds rough. That's going to sound bad, but you got to look in God's rearview mirror. The prodigal. So the prodigal died. But before the prodigal died, the father had the relationship restored. It's a prodigal. Only had a relationship restored with the prodigal. He had a place where all of his family, like over in Oakdale or somewhere, he had a place where all his family had one spot where all his family was at. And the prodigal was laid to rest with the rest of the family. So by looking in the rearview mirror, God kept his promise. The prodigal came home. Relationship was restored, emotionally, physically, spiritually. He even got a chance to pray through to God before all this happened. And he came home never to leave again. He would be with his family, and he was buried with his family. Now that's not a storybook ending, but all three prophecies came true. Okay? So if you're not going to tell God how to do it, just let him do it. That taught me something. It taught that guy something. It taught all those guys something. As a matter of fact, a little circle of guys that were, you know, were talking back and forth, a little preacher group, you know, wow, that's wild how all that happened. But God was true to his word. And in all of our guys' eyes, none of this was going to happen. The prodigal would just keep on running. And unless by some miracle, would never come back to God. Because said he weren't coming back to God. But he died in faith and was buried with his family. So, again, God kept his promises. And God sent word and told us it was coming. Just, it didn't come the way we were expecting. So, again, you got to trust God because you know, if he'd allowed that prodigal to keep on going, there's no telling what could have happened to that prodigal. There's no telling. Because he was so rebellious. And the picture perfect thing was where he come back home, become a preacher, about telling everybody, you know, like crossing the switchblade. But this was not in writing for this one. Okay, so here, you're raising your hand, Bethany. You had your hand up. Now you're like, you're going to put your pencil through your head. That reminds me, this is really funny. I had some little, or Beverly had some glue sticks that she put in her gun, and she had them set as a decorative thing by the front door. And we had some Sunday school kids come in, and the Sunday school superintendent, and I picked them up, and I said, y'all watch this. And I took the glue stick, and I went, and then I went over here, and I went, like that. And I went, and all the Sunday school kids said, wow, how'd you do that? And the superintendent looked at me and said, yeah, how'd you do that? I looked at him and said, didn't you see there's one in each hand? Okay, David Copperfield, here I come. Okay, so here's the four things. To know Jesus, the Son, is to know God, the Father. You're going to know Him. If you know Jesus is the Son, you know God is the Father. Number one, if He's the Son, there's got to be a Father, number one. But number two, you know the Trinity. We talked about it. Jesus replied, if you knew me, you would know my Father also, because He doesn't say anything that His Father doesn't say. He agrees with His Father 100% of the time. Can you imagine having a child that agree with you 100% of the time? Jesus did. Not only that, but remember DC asked me this. DC said, Daddy, I don't understand. When you seen me, you seen the Father. I don't understand it, Dad. He just got into church again a couple years ago. And I said, son, go look in the mirror. And I said, what do people tell you when they see you? He says, Dad, people see me that I don't even know. And I go, you got to be David Linton's son. He spits you right out of his mouth. I said, so what does that mean? I said, doesn't it mean that when they've seen you, they've seen the Father? He goes, yeah, that makes sense. Y'all saw him do it up here, and he did it at Emmaus. You know, again, the Jesus, when you saw his actions, you saw the way it was, because everybody thought God was a mean God, a very mean God. He was an ill God. He was always trying to hurt you, a legalistic God. And Jesus said, now I'm going to show you what God's like, and I'm going to show you. And then you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. Number two. Believe Jesus the Son is to believe God the Father. So to know Jesus is to know the Father. The Son is to know the Father. To believe Jesus the Son is to believe God the Father. Then Jesus cried out, when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. So if you believe in Jesus the Son, you know that you're going to believe in the Father, because they're so. And remember this. Remember I talked about marriage Sunday, that marriage is not this. That's a contract. This is a covenant. This means, and this also means, in our case, what's messing in my life is in your life, and what's messing in your life is in my life. And so when you put us together, two become one flesh. Okay? That's two. That's two binding together. It's touching any one thing, and God doing something for them. But when a man and wife get together, this is what happens, is my weakness is taken up by your strength, and your strength, your weakness is overcome by my strength. And so that's what you got. You got a whole body there. Well, the same way, Jesus and the Father, they didn't have weaknesses and strength. They're just like this, period. Okay? Number three, to see Jesus the Son is to see God the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You say, show us the Father. That was DC's question. I said, DC, son. You know, what was really rough the other day was I was in the hospital with Uncle Ralph. And Kenny was there, his son. And so we're sitting there, and Kenny's sitting right beside his dad. And I'm sitting at the foot of the bed. I'd gone and got him a grilled cheese sandwich, and he was eating a grilled cheese sandwich, and the nurse come in, and she looks over at me. She looks over at Kenny, and she looks over at me, and she asks Kenny, she says, who are you? And Kenny says, I'm his son. She says, no, you're his son, pointing to me. And I said, why would you think I was his son? She says, because you look just like him. I said, that's the Linton in me. And the Linton in me. And here's Kenny going, I'm the son. I'm right here. And you're looking at my cousin and telling him he's the son. You know, I said, and I took a picture of Uncle Ralph the other night when he was sitting up eating. And I sent it to Linda. And Linda said, you and him are like twins. And then the next day, the nurse tells me, I look like your son. And I think you and my daddy are like twins. And so it's just wild. Is it that Linton? You can't mistake them lints with those tater heads. You know, that's where they got the first Mr. Potato Head. Well, Uncle Ralph fell in the mud and it dried out, and somebody poured the plaster in there and said, that looks pretty cool. And so they made Mr. Potato Heads from Uncle Ralph. Okay. All right. And to receive Jesus the Son is to receive God the Father. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but also the one who sent me. Wow. So a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what? You know, the biggest word I could put down here for our relationship with Jesus Christ would be divine connection. Divine connection. Because see, in the Old Testament, God, they put a barrier around the mountain. They didn't even touch the mountain. God said, you touch the mountain, I'm going to kill you. They're scared of him. He's thunder and lightning. But now, Jesus comes along, and he's meek and humble and mild. He's the lamb. When he comes back, he's going to be the lion. But now he's the lamb. And so as the lamb, what he was trying to show us is a divine connection. When you know me, you know him. We got to understand God's a loving God. God isn't that mean God. He's a loving God. Number two, you believe in me, you're going to believe in God, the Father. Number three, you see me, you're going to see him. And if you receive me, you're going to receive him. So look at all this stuff that Jesus does, this divine connection that's going on. And that's why the world doesn't want to hear the word Jesus. The name Jesus. I just don't mind saying it when Jesus is up to bat. There's a whole bunch of Jesus's up to bat in professional baseball. Okay? But you know what? There's only one Jesus. Okay? Only one Jesus, the Son of God. And the world doesn't want to hear about Jesus unless it's in a form of slang or if it's in the form of a curse word. You know what? I walk around all the time and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that came from that dream I had. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I walked through, you know, when I was an on-call chaplain at Greenville Hospital for 12-hour shifts, the average time I had to prepare for what I was getting ready to get into usually was a death and or a trauma and or code blues and or asking me about operations or something of that nature. The average prep time I had to get ready for it was from the time they called me to the time I got to that room. And that could be anywhere from 30 seconds to 5 minutes or less. Because I had to hurry. And then once I got there, I had about 30 seconds to look around the room to figure out what I was supposed to do. Okay? So, the whole time I walked down there, I was going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When I walked in the room, I was going, Jesus, 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 you got to help me, you got to show me, I don't know what to do. And many times I've heard, you knew exactly what to say. No, I didn't. I had no idea what to say. He knew what to say. He talked about last week. He's always on time. He's got the right answer, God knows. You know, I didn't at all. Yeah, that was awesome. It was. She was her first. Bethany was her first case. I reckon they figured you made your bed, now you sleep in. You let her come here, you take care of her. Now they had a good time together. It was a real good time. They really bonded. It was good. She was from Austria. Was it Austria? Yeah. Nuh-uh, Austria. She was German sounding. She talked German. She weren't from Australia. Australia, you sound like you're talking from down under, mate. She was. Yeah, she was German. Was from Austria. Austria. She clicked her heels when she walked. Austria. That's why she had that mustache. Austria. I'm always on camera. Yeah. Okay. Any questions, comments? For what? Did you get a good answer? Okay. You and I have ridden down the road before praying about things, and then something happened. God's used you to give me rhema words. Because I'm going, yes, don't let it go to your head. We're riding down the road, and normally I would be riding by myself because you would be wherever, but now you're stuck with me. You're my Siamese twin. So I was going to say I hear I'll go, that barely made it over the fence. And I hear I go, baby steps, Dad. Baby steps. stuff she learned from Dove's Nest and stuff. Or I'll go, man, did they have to be so ornery? I would go to the nursing home. And there's some people in nursing home who are very, very ornery. And they can't help it. We go to the hospital. And some of the rudest people. And I come out and I'm thinking, dude, if you only knew, I'd have been to 3 hospitals today. And I've only ministered to 40 people in those 3 places. And I'm really tired. And I really don't feel like you being ill at me. I'm bigger than you. I really could jack you up against the wall and pop you one, but I won't. and Bethany will go, baby steps, Dad. Or she'll go, it's a new beginning. Or she'll say, it's better than going on. I look over at Bethany and say, okay. No, I haven't told her that. I haven't. I've always thanked her, haven't I? I thanked her. So I sure have. I mean, I try to acknowledge when she does do some awesome stuff. I do acknowledge her for that. Of course. Now that's good to know that. You got to know that. That's right. What's that? Well, mine literally hurt me worse than it hurt them because I'd put them on my leg and I would hit my leg while I hit their hiney. And so most of my hand would hit my leg versus their hiney. And so it made a big noise and it scared them, but I was the one taking the licking. And remember, the doctor told us when we got Bethany, they told us that she could not be hit because she had suffered so much abuse that we could not touch her. And so she just kept doing all kinds of stuff, and I tried to do all the things they told me, and none of it was working. She turned 5, and she wouldn't pay attention. She knew what she could get away with. And so one night, that's right. And so one night she come up in the church, and stopped me right while I was preaching. You stood up there with me, stopped. I said, Bethany, go sit down. She did that for like 2 or 3 services in a row. And so I said, I'm gonna stop this. And her mom said, how? I said, we're going to do it in the biblical way. Okay? And so, she said, what's the biblical way? I said, I'll show you. I said, Beth, we're going to learn some theology. Come here. And I told her, I said, I've asked you, and I've asked you, and I've asked you. I've done the timeouts. I've done whatever. I said, I've taken timeouts. I've done everything within my power, and you just keep doing more and more and more. And I said, the Bible says, if I hate you, if I spare the rod, I'm actually showing you hate, not love. I said, so I'm going to show you I love you. And I bent her over my knee after service one night. And again, my hand hit me more than it hit her. And I popped her, and she yelled out a yelp. DC started crying. Daniel started crying. Beverly started crying. Bethany was crying. I'm crying. But we still, I give her 2 or 3. I mean, I hurt myself, not her. I hurt myself. She just got a little shiny, little hiney shiny. I was getting a bam, bam. And you know what, though? But then she started listening, and we could get somewhere. You know. So I told the social services, I said, I know y'all told me not to spank her. I said, but y'all don't live with her. And I said, the Bible tells me that I am to do this. And I said, I'm not hurting her, and I am not abusing her. And I showed them what I was doing. She said, go for it, Mr. Yeah. What I was going to say is, again, God's got his ways. Just trust him. Just trust him. Next week, we're almost through with this part. We're going to go to something else. But you got to keep this stuff. Because I was counseling not long ago, somebody that was talking about they just didn't know who they were anymore. And they were having a little identity crisis. And so I went back through my computer. So our Bible study before this wasn't who God is, it was who I am, who we are. And I went and took out about 5 or 6 studies, and I handed to them and said, study this. And they went, whoa, are you reading my mail? And I said, no, but God is. So we're getting good stuff here. It's good. It's healthy. It'll put like Daddy said, it'll put hair on your chest. You know, it'll put bone, it'll put marrow in your bones. You know, it's good stuff. So just take this stuff and keep it, because you're going to need it. Always. Somebody winds up needing it. Even something like this, you'll want to need it. Any comments or questions? Everybody happy? Okay. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well on the throne, Father, and I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for its power. I thank you, God, that you've got it all under control. God, that you have done something for us and through us and with us, Lord, by sending your son, Jesus. He's connected us to the Father, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.